Travis and I are going to be doing kind of a team sermon. We're going to be preaching today together. Not really preaching, really casting vision for you about something really incredible that God, that we feel like God wants us to move towards. But before we do that, can I say something first? Thank you, bud.
Absolutely.
This, by the way, he's a great guy. Would you give Travis a hand? He's awesome. Dale, wasn't I telling you that even when you weren't around? Didn't I tell you yesterday that this is an awesome man? Dale, right? I did. Okay. Let me tell you something we would like to see happen in the months ahead, weeks ahead, maybe like starting Tuesday. Okay, we have a Tuesday prayer meeting, and we want it to become, we're not going to change anything that we're doing, but we want it to be a prayer service, and we want you guys to start coming and attending. I know you can watch online, and I know we have about 30 people watch online. There are about 15 people that are here with us, but I want you to consider coming because it's a great time. You get to hear from most of the pastors. We'll give like a little 2 or 3 minute little, maybe 4 or 5 minute little sermonette, and then we have a time of worship and prayer, and we lift up the requests from the church. And it's a significant time, and I know midweek services are not in anymore in church, okay? So we're not going to call this a midweek service. We're going to call it a midweek prayer gathering where we come together and pray. Would you consider putting that on your radar? Okay, maybe you start once a month, and then maybe it increases a little bit, but we would love to see that, wouldn't we?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I'm going to kind of kick things off a little bit this morning. So we are in a series called Pieces. I'm going to try and sit down, but after that worship, I can't. The blood is flowing, and I don't want to sit down, but I'll stand. But I'm still about the same height as you, standing up when
that
you're sitting
that
down.
Works.
So we're okay. So we're doing a series called Pieces, and this morning I want to talk about how we're going to accomplish this goal that we have. This we want to get people connected. So in this, we've titled the series Pieces because we desire that each of our people take their place in the puzzle called Crossroads Arlington Church. Now, here's the deal. Crossroads Arlington Church is a puzzle in the mosaic, okay, that's a more spiritual word, of all the churches in the world. Listen, I need to remind you of something. There is only one church. And it's made up of believers all throughout the world. So Crossroads Arlington is one of the pieces of those puzzles, but then we break it down, and each of you that call this your church are one of the pieces of the puzzle or the mosaic that makes up our church. And last week we talked about a desire that we have to see you connect, be connected to people so that you can be cared for and you can care for others as well, and also so we can help you reach your friends. We really want to see that happen. And it doesn't happen on a Sunday morning. It's too much going on. You already come here, and you already have plans for what you're going to do after this, right? Isn't that true? And we're busy, but we come. We put the time aside. But this is a time that you mostly sit and look at one or two or three people as they minister, and that's great. It has a place. But we want to be able to break it down in a way that you can be part of a group where you are known and you know other people, and that you begin to fit into that puzzle piece. And I talked to you last week about this idea that we have, and it's really, I'm not going to be ashamed to say, it's a vision that God gave me for our church. And I've been sitting on it for quite a while, about a year and a half, and then Greg Mulkey said to me, he's one of our elders, he said, Joe, why don't you just do it, okay? Just go do it, and that's what I'm doing. I'm casting this vision to you. And I talked to you about a gathering that will be in addition to Sunday morning, so what we do here, but it will allow us to have better, significant relationships with each other, to allow those relationships to form. And we'll see some of these elements that we saw taking place in smaller groups that took place in the New Testament church in Acts chapter 2. And these are some of the things that were taking place in these other gatherings other than the large gathering. There was biblical teaching. There was koinonia, which is a word, fellowship is the word, but koinonia is, fellowship is Christ-centered friendships. It's not just getting together to watch a football game, although it can be that, but it's in a Christ-centered way. It's when you actually pray for the Cowboys to win during half, just kidding, okay? You can gather and do anything with Christ in the center of it, but that's what we want these gatherings to be. Have Christ in the center of them. We want there to be a sharing of food because we saw that in the New Testament in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. There was a sharing of food, there was prayer, and there was the presence of the Holy Spirit. And people were actually sharing their lives with each other. They had a willingness to voluntarily share their possessions to meet the needs of others in that group. And they were meeting not just on Sundays, but day by day. Now, we know culture is different today than it was then. They didn't have cars. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have all the business. They didn't have Little League and all the things that steal time from us. But we're not trying to reproduce exactly what they did in the book of Acts. We're trying to look at some of the components, and these are them. There was a breaking of bread, which probably referred to, in addition to a meal, they took communion together. You notice how these relationships would have to be Christ-centered if these things are happening. And then it says this, and the Lord was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. So I'm going to explain this a little bit more as we go. But what we're talking about is on a Sunday morning, a time where once a month, while this service is going on, groups of you begin to gather. Once a month, a group, like if you were in a group, you would meet in a home just once a month, okay? So Amy and Kevin, if you were in one of those groups, your group would meet once a month. The other Sundays, you'd be here, but once a month, you'd be in a home, and you would be doing those kind of things, getting to know each other, and that would be the time that you would invite your friends because they would be more likely to come to that than to this, but then the next week you'd be letting them know that, hey, next Sunday we're at the church. We do this. Now, I'm going to explain that a little bit more to you, but I want to talk to you about the importance of connecting, what it means when you get connected. And I want to ask Alicia Irving, she's somewhat of a professional speaker. She spoke for her first time on Tuesday night, did such a great job in our prayer meeting that I said, you got to come back and do it on Sunday. Alicia, I would like you to tell a little bit of your story of how getting connected changed your life.
Okay. Well, our lives are like a huge puzzle piece that only God knows, and he's the only one that's seen the box too. He knows what the bigger picture looks like after all of our pieces have been put together. And sometimes we're handed pieces that are unexpected, that we don't really like because it isn't what we were expecting or, you know, what we had planned for our lives. But God can turn those into something beautiful. So I'd like to share with y'all some of my unexpected pieces that brought me back to church and back to God. Back in February of 2015, we had a lot going on in our life. My mother-in-law was diagnosed with breast cancer. She also had her gallbladder removed. I was hospitalized for a rare cancer they found. I spent almost a month in the hospital. Had a really major surgery. In April, our oldest ended up with appendicitis. In May, I had my gallbladder removed. We were pretty stressed. It put a lot of weight on my husband, trying to take care of all the responsibilities from working to the kids to school to housework because I was unable to do any of that. So during that time, which I didn't find out till later on, he had developed a drug addiction, and it almost destroyed our marriage and our family. Of course, on the outside to everyone, we looked like your normal happy-go-lucky family, but on the inside, we were devastated and broken and hurting. So I tried to handle all of it on my own for 2.5 years and realized I couldn't handle it by myself. It was above me, and I realized I needed God. So, you know, I blamed myself a lot for it, and I asked, you know, what if I had never had cancer? What if I had never been hospitalized? I blamed God. You know, why did you do this to our family? What did we do to deserve this? So in September of 2017, I reached out to a local Facebook moms group and asked for suggestions for churches and for counseling. And by the grace of God, a friend of mine reached out to me privately and suggested Crossroads and said that Pastor Joe did marriage coaching. So I agreed to come and, you know, invited my husband and our kids. And unfortunately, my husband wasn't able to come. My girls came, but on the day that I was supposed to come to church for the first time, he was going through some really bad withdrawals. So I was really worried about his safety, so I took him to the emergency room and still realized that I needed to be at church. So after being up all night, no shower, no change of clothes, I just drove to church. Thank goodness for messy buns and body spray. I was worried and nervous walking into church for the first time. I wasn't sure if I was going to be judged or accepted or, you know, I wasn't really sure, but saying I was accepted is a complete understatement. It was very welcoming and inviting and, you know, so after a couple of weeks, Harley got sober and started coming to church. We started marriage coaching. And then he and I decided to rededicate our lives to Christ and get baptized again alongside both of our daughters. And all things happen for a reason. And without that simple invite and the support from the church and being connected to a lot of you guys, I have no doubt that we wouldn't be where we are today in our marriage and our walk with Christ. God allowed us to suffer and hurt with all the unexpected things so we could be humbled and learn faith and hope and grace and mercy and to see that he has the power to heal us. And he allowed us the opportunity to come back to him. So I just want to leave you guys with this verse that I came across. It's Isaiah 30:18. So the Lord is waiting to show his mercy to you. He wants to rise and comfort you. The Lord is the God who does the right thing, so he will bless everyone who waits for his help.
Thank you, Alicia. Yeah, that's very powerful. I was telling her, I said, please don't make me cry because I'm up right after you. And I don't want to start off my message by crying. So I tried to hold it together over there. But thank you, Alicia, for sharing. Just to kind of throw in another plug for Tuesday night, she shared on Tuesday night. This Tuesday, Harley is going to share his side of the story. With everybody, and then the Tuesday after that, Ricky is going to come and share her story on a Tuesday night, because we really want you guys to see how just a simple invite to bring a piece into this puzzle has the power to change somebody's life, and it's not all just put on you. You just have to say, come to church with me, and I think these groups are such a great opportunity for us to be able to do that, because it's another way to get people into the church, so... just a little encouragement for you guys, and I'd love to see you on Tuesdays. But, you know, one of the parts of Alicia's story that, you know, she shared is that she tried to do it by herself for 2 years, right? And she kept feeling like it was failing and over and over again. And yet, she didn't get the healing until she actually reached out to other people. And to be able to get connected with a church or get connected with other people. And, you know, that's a huge thing of what I want to talk about today, is that we as humans and the church are not designed to be alone. We always try constantly to do stuff by ourselves, to try to get through things by ourselves, especially us men, right? I'm going to prove the point by saying if you ever go and get furniture, there's always those like little signs on the boxes that say lift with two people. How many guys in this room try to lift it by themselves? Right? Case in point, right there. But I want to say that God didn't design us, even from the beginning, to do things alone. Because when we hear about the creation story and the way that God created all things, every time he created something on a day, he said what? This is good, right? The first time he says that it is not good is when he saw that man was alone, right? So in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Right? God saw the detail of Adam trying to do everything by himself, and it wasn't working. So he brought somebody else. And that's what God wants us as humans and the church to do, is to come together, to be a part, to not try to deal things by ourselves. And there's plenty of people in this world that don't even know that. They're still trying to do things by themselves and don't realize that there's a place where they can come without judgment, without people trying to beat them down for the circumstances that they're going through, and get help. That's why we want people to get invited. You know, we want people to have a hope in this world, right? But, you know, one of the things that I've noticed a lot in churches even, and is that so many of us, as we're talking about the body of Christ today, that a lot of people within the church live as an amputated limb, right? And what I mean by that is, you know, if I would take my hand and I could just remove it and set it right here on the stage, what do you think it would do? It's not going to do anything, right? I mean, unless it's the hand from the Addams family, right? Then you just get up. I think we'd all be kind of creeped out at that point in time, but I don't want you back. Get away from me. But anyway, is that most of us live that way, even within the church. And we say that we are a part of the church, but often we live that way. That, you know, if I would take my hand off and put it right here, it would still be a part of my body, right? But it's not really connected, so therefore it's not able to do the function that it was created to do. So a hand on the stage, or a person that gets involved in a church but never really gets connected, it's hard to say that you're really a part of everything, because you're not going to be able to function the way that God designed you to. You guys with me? Now, also, I just want to bring it up. Sorry, I keep talking about my hand. Sorry if it's weird or whatever. But if I would leave it on the stage, never pick it up again, what would happen to it? It would die. Ultimately, it would begin to decay, and eventually it would disappear. So when people are going to a church and saying that they're a part, but never really truly getting connected to the life source, never really getting connected to other people around, ultimately, it's going to start to wear you down a little bit, because you're not really going to get connected to other people. You're not really going to be able to do too much, because you're not functioning the way that God called you to within these walls. So ultimately, as you begin to wear down from the church of just coming to church on Sunday mornings, eventually you're going to disappear. And ultimately, that's not what we want for you. We don't want you to just come and say that you're a part. We actually want you to come and be a part. And just to go back to the whole idea that when you're not specifically a part of the church, you're ultimately not going to be able to grow the same way that you would if you were a part. So we want to see you grow. We want to see the gifts and the abilities that God put within you start to come to fruition, start to come to use. We don't want you to start to decay and ultimately disappear. We love you guys too much. So as Joe is getting ready to talk about being a part of the body and explain what that means, I don't want you to live apart, but I want you to live connected with us.
My turn. Okay. I don't know how you do the sitting down thing. Can't do it.
It has to do with the leg.
The knee. He's having his knee replaced on Friday. So we're going to be praying for you after the service. And because you're a part of the body, we've got a system of care for you. So last week when I shared this, I asked you to pray about taking your place and playing your role as we move toward this together. I ask you to do that. And it involves two things. Number one, that you participate, that you show up. Okay? And second, that you would have a willingness to lead, facilitate, and help shepherd our people. Like, you have no idea how many people have come to Crossroads and now are gone, and we didn't even know they were gone until maybe 6 months. Because we don't have a way to get people connected, and they slip through the cracks. And what that does to me is it keeps me up at night. Because I love you people. I'm looking around at some of you people that have come and disappeared and then come back, and it's like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen you for so long, and it embarrasses me that we didn't know that a hand got cut off and was separate. We didn't know till you come back. And we want to try to have a way for you to get connected while you're here. Now, we're never going to force you to get connected. In other words, we're going to share some things. But if you want to just come on Sunday morning, that's going to be okay. That's going to be your choice. I just don't want to be the one responsible for it when I stand before God. And he asked me how, and I'm going to be held responsible for how I shepherded this group or allowed the group to be shepherded, the church to be shepherded. So, but we need you to say, hey, I'll participate. Okay, and then that some of you, we're going to talk about this next week, are going to have to help lead, facilitate the groups, but really be a shepherd or shepherdess, where you're now helping us take care of the body. So let me tell you what these groups are going to be like and what they're going to do. And I want you to know that COVID, this is thank you, Lord, for COVID, because that's when this vision that I have crystallized for me. Okay, so let me tell you what, because I see them, actually. I was in the nursing mom's room. It's like, no, I'm not nursing a baby, and Tony and I didn't have a child. Okay, but I go in the nursing mom's room early on Sunday morning, and I review my sermon. I have prepared it during the week, and I review it. I kind of nurse my sermon, kind of. And it's like, I said, Lord, I see these groups. I can see it, which tells me that we've never had this before, that our greatest days are before us. You say, Joe, you've been saying that for a long time. Listen, you want your pastor to believe that your greatest days are before you, don't you? Okay. So I do. Whether it's true or not, I believe it, and that's why there's a lot of passion, and that's why I can't sit down. Even if I didn't have knees, I'd be a lot lower, but I would be trying to stand up. So I want to tell you what I see. Listen. That these groups will be groups of like-minded and probably like-aged people, but not necessarily. But it's people who kind of have some affinity. Affinity means they have things in common. And they're going to be people who regularly attend Crossroads Church here on Sunday morning. We're not changing this. In fact, we went to two services, and we're staying at two services because we know we've been to services most of our history, and we're going to do it. So the 11 o'clock people have some place to come, okay? So it's going to be made up of people who are part of our church, but once a month on a Sunday morning, they meet in a home, and they watch the live stream. Thank you, COVID. Thank you, Lord, for COVID. Now, I don't mean that disrespectfully to some of you who suffered with COVID or who have people that lost their lives. What I'm saying is that God works all things together for good. And as horrible as COVID was, that there are good things that come out of it. Aren't you glad you have a pastor that sees that and believes that, right? Okay? That kind of goes along with our best days are ahead of us, okay? But they meet once a month on a Sunday morning in a home to watch a live stream, take communion. There probably won't be a pastor there. So our leaders are going to be, they're going to be shepherding. They're going to be real live leaders in the church. They're going to administer communion, share a meal, and experience the other elements that were happening in the smaller groups that we saw in Acts chapter 2. Okay, now I'm thinking if it's an older couple, they're going to meet and have breakfast and then watch the live stream. I'm thinking if it's a younger families, they're going to meet, watch the live stream, and then have lunch, but that's going to be up to the group. The groups will determine what that looks like, but we want them to watch the live stream, okay? And that will be the good biblical teaching that they'll have. The other 3 to 4 Sundays of the month, the families will attend church here in the building. But now we'll have people, friends, that they can connect with when they come. because you're going to start getting to know each other, and even better yet. Now, I won't say better yet. It's equal. We want our believers to be connected to each other, but we also want non-believers to be able to come to something. We think the Sunday morning in the home is going to be the easiest thing to bring your family and friends to. It's less intimidating. They'll be able to come. They'll make some friends. And then when they find that everybody's going to church the next week here at the building, they'll be more likely to come. Maybe they won't come the next week, maybe the week after. But when they do come, they have a group of people that they know and they can sit with. And now we have a chance to see God do in their lives what he did in Alicia's life. That's the vision. These groups will have a second group gathering during the month at a different time, not Sunday morning. It'll be whenever, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon. It can be whenever. So they'll meet twice a month. One of the meetings will be during the church service, watching the live stream. The other is, and again, those 10 things I listed that we want to happen in those groups. We don't mean all of the 10 happen every week. We mean on a regular basis, those are things that we want to see taking place. And you know what's going to happen to some of those shepherds? Because we got a couple. And I want to just mention my buddies, Ricky and Arthur, who are going to be taking one of those groups. You see, Ricky and Arthur already have a congregation. Most of them sit right over here. They already have this, and they are pastors. They shepherd people, right? They do. And we just want to encourage, but, you know, we want you to start, you know, we want to let other people know that that group's going to be available. So that, and there are people that are going to fit especially in that group because they have some things in common, and you guys are going to be their pastors. Now, we're going to be their pastors too, but they get another pastor who's going to know when they are and aren't around, so you don't have to wait 6 months and where are so-and-so? And then the hand is already shriveled up. See? And that group's going to grow. And the people that go to their group, they're already recruiting, by the way. Because Chris told me, hey, yeah, Arthur was telling me about some group. And I was like, oh, Arthur, way to go. Way to go, baby. And that group is going to grow. And who knows what happens? Groups have a tendency to multiply. See? And that's what we're after. Now, I want to talk to you I want to read some verses to you about the body of Christ, and then I'm handing it back to Travis, okay? So let me just read this to you, and he's going to maybe, because there's a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It starts out by talking about spiritual gifts. That is, how there are a variety of gifts given to individuals by one Spirit. If you have the idea that the pastors are the gifted ones and everyone else are the beneficiaries of the gifts, you don't understand the Scriptures. We're all gifted, all of us. Pastors are actually, we're going to learn about this next week when me and Brock team teach, because Brock is going to do the equipping of the leaders, because we're going to make sure that the leaders that lead these groups have been trained and equipped to be pastors and shepherds, not necessarily teachers, although they might have the opportunity to teach. But we want them to know how to care for people. And in it says that pastors are to equip the gifted people in the church to do the work of the ministry. So you are being recruited right now. And we'll look at that in Ephesians chapter 4. But as Christians, each of us as individuals have that Holy Spirit and have been gifted by that Holy Spirit to do something. You see how excited I am? Do I look excited? You know why? Because I do what I'm gifted to do. That's why. Because I'm out there and I minister to people and God uses me. Like, I had a piece of the puzzle with Harley and Alicia. You know what that piece was? Marriage coaching, letting them know that I believed that God could change their lives. And that and other people came around them. And now Harley is in back there. Wait, wave your hand, Harley. He's the media director in our church. And a life changed. By the way, he just stopped doing drugs. Who does that? Well, when you're connected to people and you have the Holy Spirit in you, and he just stopped doing the drugs that he was doing. And that's what happens. And we're all gifted. And if you don't think, one of the reasons I was so excited to get here this morning was to hear you share that testimony, because I know I was a part of it. And I get to say, wow, God, you're using me. I have a purpose and a plan. You say, Joe, don't you ever, you know that you're a pastor. You'd be surprised at how much I'm just like you, and sometimes I wonder, is there anything I really do? Do I really make a difference? But you know how you know you make a difference? You get involved, and you use your gifts and abilities, and you bring whatever they are to the table, and God starts to use them. So the passage then talks about how as a church is a body. Did you know that? It's not a building. It's a body, a group of people. A church is a body with many parts, and each has a purpose and each a necessary role. I'm going to just read these scriptures and sit down, okay? Maybe put a blanket over me, okay, to calm me down. Verse 12, it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of the one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, be pretty weird. Where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? That's the nose, right? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body, the church.
So if we are the body of Christ, right? Just as he read, we all have our different functions. We all have our different reasons as to why we're a part of the body. But if there is an amputated limb, what does that make the church? An amputee, right? And what I mean by that is that when people don't become a part of the church, it can be as though the church is living as an amputee. So God has brought you here specifically, each one of you, for a reason. Maybe some of you already know your reason. Maybe some of you are already a part. Some of you may be still looking. Some of you maybe haven't even thought about it yet. But the reason is that you are right in your seat right now for a specific reason. And I wanted to point that out to the fact because, you know, like we said, when there's an amputated limb and the church is an amputee, the church can live and function, but it's not going to function as well as it could without the limb. So as Joe said earlier, I am getting my surgery this Friday, right? So when I first talked to Joe about it, he said, hey, I have a staff discount for your surgery. He said, my friend Jim LeBenz and I are actually doctors, so we can do the operation for you. And I was like, all right, let me hear about this. And then he said, so typically, if it doesn't go right, which is most likely what's going to happen, we're going to have to amputate your leg. I reluctantly declined the offer. But the truth is that over the next 6 weeks after my surgery, I will be having to learn how to live without the use of my leg for a while. Because basically, they're going to be severing my patellar tendon. I'm not going to get too much into the detail. So I will be in a full leg brace for 6 weeks, unable to move it and unable to put any pressure on it. So trying to figure out life and how to operate without a leg is going to be something I will be experiencing. I will be all right. Thank you, Willie. But the truth is, if my leg, if there was nothing wrong with it, if I was able to use it, life would be a lot easier over those 6 weeks. And I want you guys to hear that because, like I said, you're all here for a specific reason, but if you're not stepping into your part, we're not able to function as a church the way that we should be. When all parts are working together, when all parts are doing the function that God specifically designed them to do, we are able to function better as a church, as a body together. When people come together, it's easier to do things. It's either easier to get things accomplished rather than doing things alone, right? You know, as Joe was reading that scripture, and he told me this is what we were going to go on, this whole amputated thing came into my mind from the scriptures. I'm going to reread them. 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 18. It says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose." What I want to point out with that scripture right there is that there would be pieces missing if the whole body was just one thing. Think about the idea: if we all were an eye and the ears were missing, we would never be able to hear all of the beautiful things that God created. If we all were an ear and there would be no sense of smell, we couldn't smell all of the amazing food that's cooked around in this area. I mean, come on, when you go out and you just smell a restaurant when you're already hungry, you're just like, oh man, I want food. But the church is the same way. If somebody is called to be an eye in the church and they never step up and do the thing that they're called to, it hinders what's going on in the church. So before we talked about how you're hindered, but it also hinders the church. I want you guys to think about that. But I'm not putting all of the blame on the congregation. I want you guys to hear that, because we as pastors, we as leaders in the church, if we're not doing our part in watching and seeing what limbs are missing, then it's our fault. Because we as the pastors, we as the leaders and those that will be stepping up to lead a group, we need to know what parts have gone missing. If I would chop my finger off and not realize it, and then all of a sudden I'm trying to do something, I can't do it, right? But most of the time, we would be able to recognize if something's missing, and that's what we need to do with our congregation. If someone leaves and we don't know, we are hindering ourselves and them. Because if God called you here for a reason, and we're not doing something to connect with you, to be a part of you, we are hindering you. That's why we're calling to this, to get people connected. Maybe somebody's been hurt by the church and doesn't want to be in this building, or maybe you have a friend that just doesn't feel comfortable being in this building. When you open up a home, there's more chance for them to come in because they already know you, they're comfortable with you, they're most likely going to know more than one person in the house, right? There are places where we can draw people in and help them to be connected. And I want you guys to hear this. A true statement of our love for Christ is to shepherd the people he brings to us. Because when we read the story of where Jesus, after he resurrected, he came to Peter, right? I want to read this in John chapter 21. It's just going to be 15 through 17. It says, "When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to them, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend to my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.'" When I read that, I think about the thing where he's asking, "If you really love me, what you'll be doing is guiding the people while I'm gone." We as a church are called to look out for those that are missing, that are not connected, that are not a part, and draw them in to help them become more as what God created them to be. Think about the idea. If Alicia never got the invite if she never reached out and nobody would have responded to her on Facebook, where would her and Harley be right now? There are people waiting for you specifically that God has put in your path to invite, to connect, to bring in. And I want you guys to know every part of the body matters. Every single part. You know, we always sing that song, Reckless Love, right? He leaves the 99 to find the one, right? That scripture is actually in Matthew chapter 18. And it talks about the fact that we need to be watching out for those that are walking out the door. We need to be looking out for those that are gone, that are disconnected, and go in search for them and bring them back. We are called all to be shepherds, right? And, you know, with this new thing that we're going on, one of my new roles and part of the things that I'm going to be taking on is getting to know all of you better. I've been so connected with youth that I can look around, I recognize your faces, but I don't always know your name. And if I have to go to a leader and say, hey, I don't see them anymore. They're like, who are you talking about? If I don't know your name, I can't help them, right? So what I want to do and my job is to get to know every single person in this room and not just the youth. So that way, when you're gone, we can reach out to you and find out where you are, find out how you're doing, find out what's going on. But the truth is, I can't do this on my own. And this is why we're asking those of you that want to step up and be leaders, to lead some of these groups, to help shepherd, so that way I'm not the only eyes, because my eyes are going to miss things sometimes. Joe's eyes are going to miss things sometimes. But if we have more eyes out there, we're less likely to watch a sheep walk or miss a sheep walking away. So I want you guys to all understand that we need to be in this together. And if we are the body of Christ, we need to function that way and be there for one another.
Thank you, Travis. So guys, that's our plan to move forward. I'm very excited. It keeps me up at night, and it gets me up in the morning, because it's worth pursuing and running after, because the bottom line is this. Can I tell you my goal for our church is that we would be a place that people can find Christ and find each other and become the people that it be. Not necessarily that we become a large in fact, in some ways, we're going to be taking people out of the service once a month, just one group at a time. We'll alternate those groups. So there'll be one maybe on the first Sunday, another on the second. How many of these groups will we have? I don't know. It depends. I think some of you can start it just two couples in a church, maybe four people, a few single. We think young adults can have groups like this. We think all of the ministries can have them. But as God raised Brock, I was talking to Brock yesterday. Brock is going to be doing the piece of training, because I noticed something. First of all, I watch my guys, and I noticed that Travis is wired this way. He cares about people. And putting him in this role is a role that you like. It suits him. He's like, well, I love this. He's moved by it, so I don't have to motivate him. He's excited to do it. I watch Brock, and I see everything Brock starts. He starts a ministry, and before you know it, he's out of it. But he's put someone else in it, and they're leading it. And I said, I talked to Brock a few weeks ago, and I said, Brock, you seem to be good at finding people and then equipping them and then empowering them. He said, yeah, I love to do. That's what I love to do. It's like, great. And he's going to take on that piece of it. And we're going to do it together. Guys, here's the only thing we want to do. We want to make him happy. And by doing that, you take care of the sheep. And I'm going to try and take care of everyone, but you being taken care of it will never be dependent on me, because there'll be other layers of people doing it. Like, when you need me, try it. Call me, and once you get past saying, well, I know you're busy, it's like, okay, I'm not that busy. You try. When you need me, you call me. You'll see. You'll be able to meet with me within 2 or 3 days. And we'll sit down, and I won't be in a rush. And I love to do that. And I try and help. And if you need a season of Joe, you'll get a season of Joe. I'll point you to Jesus everywhere I can. And then you step out, and then you become that person that others go to as well. But we can't grow a church. We can't allow the church to grow if it's dependent on me. Because there's how many, then I will get too busy. You don't call me because some of you are afraid to meet with me, right? Too much power, too much, you know, he intimidates. He's, by the way, I am alone. I am the most approachable, talkable, easy to talk to person. And I love doing that. But we want to create it to where it's happening, where everyone can get it. And they're not just getting it from whatever role I am in the body. We want all of us to be doing that. Now, wouldn't that be exciting? Can you imagine it? Let's pray. By the way, I'm going to pray. But next week, we're going to make the ask. We're going to have little puzzle pieces, okay, that are going to be on your chairs, on each of your chairs. And you're going to let us know. And by the way, if you say, wow, I like coming on Sunday, that's the extent of what I want at this time, we're fine. We're not upset with you, and we don't want you to stop coming. That's your choice. But we want to make it to where if you want to take that next step, you can. Okay? But we're not trying to guilt you into anything. But next week, we're going to make the S. There's going to be a puzzle piece, and you're going to check off, I will participate. And the second thing, well, I will consider becoming a leader, a facilitator, a shepherd in the church. And then I go on vacation and I hand it off to Brock and Travis to figure it out. No, I'm kidding. And then we'll begin to put those puzzle pieces together in such a way that the mosaic of a beautiful body working together begins to form. So for one purpose, well, for two purposes. One, that God may be glorified and pleased. And number two, that we may grow in our faith. Let's pray. Lord, this is our desire. It's not really our desire. It's what you told us we're to do in the body of Christ. Lord, I want to do my part. I have not done my part. Travis was saying it's not their fault. Of course it's not their fault. I take responsibility for this not happening. I'm the leader of the church. I started the church. I can't blame anyone. Humanly, it's not you, Lord. So humanly, it must be me. But Lord, at this point, you've helped me to understand what needs to take place. You've helped me to see my own weaknesses and my own inabilities. So I've got Travis and Brock to come alongside there. And I pray that all of us would bring our giftings and our best. We'd bring it to you here in this body. And that you would use it to help us to create a mosaic, a puzzle, a mosaic of a beautiful body of Christ, living for and serving you, bringing new people in. We're going to be messy, Lord. We want to see non-believers coming in or people who are away from God who are messy and dirty, and we're going to come in together. We're going to help them be cleaned up by your Holy Spirit and develop a friendship with Christ that trumps any drug, any alcohol. It trumps any immorality that we might, when we know you, and we're experiencing you, then everything falls away. And we want to be a place where that happens, not just here on Sunday morning, but in other places. Lord, guide and direct us. As Holy Spirit, we ask you to guide and direct us and help us to do this and raise up those that are going to be instrumental in seeing this take place. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.